Zoomer Radio and true national treasure, Gordon Lightfoot, from very early in his career, 1966, Early Morning Rain. Gordon said that was his very favorite song, and he wrote many, many great songs. Gordon died last evening at a Toronto hospital of natural causes. His memory and his music will endure, and we are celebrating Gord all day long on Zoomer Radio and, of course, on the Morning Zoom with Sam and Jane. Gordon's folk pop sound defined a generation. Our guest is music publicist and musicologist Eric Alper. Thanks for your time this morning, Eric.
No problem. You know, talking about songs, right now, Gordon Lightfoot has all three songs on number one, number two, and number three on the U.S. iTunes song chart.
Amazing.
And so that just shows you that, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, you know, it takes the passing of a brilliant musician like Gordon to make people go back into the music. But all of those songs are just, they're over 50 million streams on Spotify and getting played on radio stations like this around the world on a daily basis. So it's always nice to kind of, you know, remember somebody that was just so brilliant like that.
Incredible.
Eric, with your expertise, tell us about Gordon Lightfoot's place in Canadian history.
Oh, he has to be right up there on the top. I mean, I think the only person that would even come close might be Neil Young. But Neil's a little bit different because he's gone from musical genre to genre, so you never quite could peg him as a folk artist. And then for the next album, he'll just turn the volume up to 11 and blast you through the speakers. But Gordon Lightfoot never left that folk rock world. And since the 1960s, when he started breaking in with Early Morning Rain, and If You Can Read My Mind, and Rainy Day People, and Carefree Highway, and Sundown, and The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, he never really left the radio. And that's for a generation or three that grew up listening to his music on that way. There's something really special because that's where the memories are created. He just sung so much about this country and where he was from. He talked about the wilderness. He talked about the Canadian Railroad. He talked about the relationship that he had, that a lot of people knew exactly what he was going through. So he has to be right up there with the greatest singer-songwriters that this country has ever produced.
You know what? We sometimes mistakenly define success by, you know, musicians who go to America and find it there. And
yeah.
I, you know, I'm hearing stories today and have always known that Gordon Lightfoot was so true to Canadiana and our culture and telling the stories of Canada to the world that his success was, in fact, staying here, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think the fact that Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash and Judy Collins and the Grateful Dead and Olivia Newton-John and so many countless hundreds of others covered his music just showed that even though that those songs were pretty much written in this country and with a Canadian leaning and an angle, the words that he wrote down could be thought of as just having that worldwide human connection. I think in hanging out with people like Neil Young and Bob Dylan and other kind of world famous musicians, I think it taught him a little bit about how the music industry operated in America. You know, we all know that in the 1960s, before Canadian content rules had radio stations playing at least 30-35% Canadian content, all of these people, whether you're Gordon Lightfoot or Bruce Coburn or Murray McLaughlin or David Clayton Thomas or Andy Kim, they all had to go to America to break it because there was just no real modern era star system in this country, the one that we know and love today. So I think in seeing what that record label and the music industry was like in Los Angeles, I think he just got really sickened of it and he came back home.
Well, right.
And certainly he had no less success because of it, touring around the world. In fact, you know, it wasn't even a couple of weeks ago when he announced that he had to cancel his dates for 2023. He still had like 35, 40 dates on the schedule. At the age of 84, he's still out there performing as much as he can because he knew that he loved it, even though that he pretty much stayed away from the American star and the American political system.
Well, what was it about Canada that he loved so much that made him feel so secure and comfortable in living his life here?
I think the ability that, you know, if you ran into Gordon shopping for groceries in Toronto, which I know a lot of people did, He just loved the laid-backness of it every single day of his life since probably 1967. Somebody had come up to him to tell him how much his songs meant to him or to that person. And I think he was okay with that. I think he was okay with being able to live his life, have the family, see his kids, and go to shows and concerts in Toronto and in the area without being harassed, without having a whole bunch of fluff around him, without the hubbub that comes along when a Bob Dylan comes into town or somebody else of his stature. I think that he just loved the fact that he was able to do what he wanted to do and had really good people around him, from the record labels to the fans. The ability for Gordon to just continue to do what he wanted to do, I think, was extremely important to him. And I don't think he saw that he could have that kind of a lifestyle if he lived in America or the UK.
Music publicist and musicologist Eric Alper talking about the great Gordon Lightfoot. Thank you, Eric. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, and we'll talk soon.